Episode of the Grind Show, baby. Let's go.
Let's go. And another one.
Episode 29. Man, we almost to 30.
Yeah. We got it over 1,000 downloads.
Hey, what Bad Boys one say? Hey, shit, nigga, you at least 30. Said his name was Reggie.
You at least 30.
I ain't going back.
Yeah, oh, man. This is episode 29, like you say. Most foremost, I am one half of the Grind Podcast. I am T-Tank.
T-Tank.
In the building, you already know.
Yay!
And to my right,
it's your boy, AJ180, baby. Actually, it's 360 now, but at the same time, St. Jones 33. And, you know, it's your boy. Thank you for, you know, that introduction.
But we do got a special guest in here, ladies and gentlemen.
Special guest.
First time on the pod, for
first
sure.
First time. And, first time. It's been a long time coming, though. It's been a long time coming.
Yeah.
Because I know I've been talking with him for the last year, and he's, you know, he's kind of like, get me on the pod, man. And I'm like, yeah, we want you on the pod for sure, for sure. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Sure. But, you know, it's the grind. So,
oh, yeah, for sure.
It took a while for us to get to this moment, but the moment is finally here. So we're for happy sure. to have him. And we would like to introduce our brother. Do you want to introduce yourself, bro?
Sure.
Take the stage. Yeah.
All right. My name is Dr. Butler. I go by the MD Investor, and I am here to help teach people what it takes to learn how to invest and how to start getting involved in investing from level zero to level 100. I just want to help people start to build and grow. And that's what my grind is about. So I thought the Grind podcast sounded like it made perfect sense.
All right, definitely does.
Hand of round of applause. Yeah. And a round of applause.
It's my brother, y'all. Whoa, that's loud. Hey, we appreciate the applause. All right. So let's get into it. This is my brother, Tyrone, Dr. Tyrone, but put some respect on his name.
Doctor.
To this day. his grind has been inspirational, especially to me. I know him personally. We are members of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. One of my LBs. We've been in the thick of things together, in the grind together, and to see him flourishing and to see him doing what he is doing now in his purpose, in his bag, and just accomplishing all kind of stuff, man. Like, I never would have thought you would have been this far. As you are, you've done some amazing things from finishing medical school, becoming a doctor, investing in real estate. I don't know if you're in real estate right now, but I know you do trucking, and you're speaking all over the U.S. nation from, well, you're in Georgia right now. I know you're in New York. So you're everywhere right now, bro, and you're doing big things, man. Big ups to you, bro.
Trying to be like Andrew Tate, trying to be everywhere all the time.
That what they call it, the omnipresence, right?
Omnipresence, right?
Yeah. But anyways, let's get into it, man. Where did this journey start for Dr. Butler, Tyrone Butler?
Oh man, in terms of my journey for like wanting to do medicine or wanting to do investing?
Just like from the beginning, like, did you always have this like shorter, like ambitious goals when you were younger? Did you grow
Oh,
up that
100%.
way? Did you like kind of feel that early on?
100%. I feel like when I was younger, I've always wanted really two things in life. I wanted to do medicine and I wanted to be rich. And then
Gotcha.
once I started doing medicine, I was like, nah, I'm not rich. Like, yeah, I made some mistakes. That's
Yeah.
the thing though. It's like a lot of times people will pick a path, and then once they pick that path and it doesn't pan out the way they want it to pan out, then they don't want to do that path anymore. But they'll just stick
Right.
to it and they'll grind through it and they'll just suffer through it. And in this case, I was like, you know what? I can't just pick something and let it be wrong and then just stay wrong. Like whatever has to happen to change it, it has to happen.
So there was
But
some like obstacles basically on your way to where you are now, I'm sure. Can you speak on some of those, like as far as like maybe school, like because not too many people has been to medical school, that's for sure.
not that I
So
know
yeah,
personally.
not that I know personally, right? But yeah, right. It's not that easy. It's not
not
that
that
easy.
prominent nor easy. So yeah,
But
it's just
can you speak a little bit about that journey?
yeah, it's definitely a grind. So like you were saying, like you said, start from the beginning or so. I've always wanted to be a doctor since I was a kid. That was the first time like I had a person in my life that I noticed had some authority, and I've never met people who had that kind of authority. You know, growing up in like, you know, the hood or whatever, there's not a lot of people who have status or stature that you can actually be like, oh, that's pretty dope.
Facts.
So
Big facts.
the
Yeah.
way I got started in this is like when I was a kid, I used to live in you know, the Zion Projects over there in San Bernardino, right?
I used to live right across the street from the Zion. That's crazy.
That's where I grew up at.
Was
And they had these
what's up?
old super rickety trash gates. You know,
Yeah, it was still like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Still there?
Really rough area
Well,
to grow up
now
in.
they kind of fixed it up and
What street was that on?
that was
Yeah.
on shoot.
I don't know what street. It's right next to the community hospital, though.
History, yeah.
Okay, so it
Yeah.
might be close to like Waterman or something,
No, no,
you
no, no,
know?
no, 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 no. It's not by there. It's more so by a Royal Valley High School.
Oh, okay.
It was definitely a rough area,
It no, it is.
especially in the 80s, you know what I mean? But yeah, that's actually what got my journey started. So I had grew up in these this location with my family and whatever. And I remember one day, I thought it was an amazing day, right? Because usually whenever you ask your mom for something, you hear no. But in this case, I heard like, you know, I heard the ice cream truck and she was like, you can do it. She gave me money and I was like, bro, this is the day. You know what I mean? Like, you know how you get no's as a kid all the time, but this was the day. So I got the yes. I ran out the house like you know, bat out of hell. Threw the gate open, but none of the gates worked. And of course, I was too excited to realize gate hit the wall, came back with double the force, clipped me right on the side of my face, and tore like half my skin on my face off. So I was like bleeding like crazy. It was insane. Had blood all down my clothes, blood on my shoes. My mom took me to San Bernardino County Hospital. And she was like hysterical for me, you know. She was crying. She was like, you know, one of those classic "my baby" kind
You
of
know,
things, you know.
like, moms and their sons, you already know how
Exactly. She was, and I'm the oldest too, so she was like kind of going in. And when we got to the hospital, there was this young dude, and he was the only person who was able to calm my mom down. And I was like,
that
this man is a superhero, like. He's like, don't worry about it. We're gonna fix his face. Like, he's barely gonna have a scar afterwards. I'm gonna sew it all back together. Dude was like a young Asian guy. He was super nice. He was helpful. They stitched my face up and everything like that. And afterwards, I was just super grateful. And I was like, what is that guy? And she was like, oh, that's a doctor. And I was like, doctor made you stop, you know, being loud. Like, no one can stop my mom from making noise. So this dude was a superhero. I was like, I'm gonna do that, right? So that's when I decided I was going to do medicine, man. And I was like, all right, from now on, this is what I'm going to do. You know what I mean?
That's
That's dope.
superhero power, man.
I wanted to help people like that dude helped me.
That's what's up, man. I love that story, man. Nothing like that ice cream, man, to get you going too, though. I
That
mean,
was my downfall with the ice cream.
I know y'all remember the ice cream, man. I
Yeah.
used to have this homie used to run down the street chasing the ice cream man, and he'd be like, hello. And never stop for him.
Yeah, bro, I ain't chasing no ice
cream. Yeah, but shout out to that doctor though, man. Was it a black dude? Was it a white dude?
No, it was an Asian guy. He was there. I think he was, like, in hindsight, I'm pretty sure he was a resident or something because he was super young. Yeah. But still, he just had he just had that control. It was just everybody was like all over the place and chaotic, and he was extremely calm. And he was like, "Don't worry about it. We got this." So even now, I'm like, I still have this scar, but it's a very small scar compared to what it looked like when it first happened, you know?
So did you get, like, pretty good grades in, like, high school and middle school and stuff? Like, because ended up at UCR, which is a great school. So, like, how'd you get up there? Like, was you doing well in school? Like, what kind of student were you in high school, or what kind of person was you?
Oh, I was an extremely studious person. So I was like, going into med school is like, that's something that you have to plan for in advance. Like, when you're doing schooling like that and you're like, all right, the next 10, 15, 20 years, I have to grind no matter what happens. Then you start to kind of focus. In this case, like when I got to middle school, I was like, all right, in order to get to the right medical school or whatever like that, you have to just start kind of pushing yourself. So
yeah, because I'm an educator too. So I look at these students and I'd be like, I tell them about different stuff they can do. Like even this past, Friday, they had the fifth graders come in, and because I was teaching a second grade class, shout out to the young ones. I was basically like, they came in, the fifth graders came in, and they had college presentations on which colleges they were going to. So they were presenting to the second graders. And you know, I was trying to give them information as they were presenting, and it was cool. I thought it was cool, you know, like to start planting those seeds early of higher education and what they can possibly do or what they would like to look for in a college. And, you know, some of the kids, they struggle, focusing, they struggle with discipline. You know, they're young, like, no, I don't want to be in this damn class. Mr. Jones tripping. You know what I mean? So I'm like, you know, I'm trying to give them game, and they're like, you know, it's hard for them to see it. Like, so for you to see that at an early age and you stayed so diligent on it, like, did you have any, like, was it just the ambition, or did you have somebody like pushing you or helping you? Like, I know you said you had an example of the guy who kind of gave you that light. But who kept you on that path, like, as far as, like, keeping you on that journey, you know what I mean? Or was it just you by yourself kind of just staying through it?
I don't think anybody does anything by themselves. But at the same time, it wasn't from a family aspect. Like, no one in my family on either side has ever gone to college or went to school in that capacity. So in this case, when it came to trying to get where I needed to go through school, I didn't really have a lot of guidance from that aspect. I used to come home and like bring my homework home, and I'd be like, hey mom, I got to do this geometry homework. She's like, there's no way, I can't help you with this. You see what I'm saying? So it's like,
yeah.
I had to find groups and find ways to actually get help. So like when I was in middle school and high school, I had to join clubs like Avid, or I had to like make sure I went to tutoring. I went to whatever I needed to do to make sure that I was on the right track. Same thing when it came to high school, I wanted to make sure that I was in Avid. When I went to, college, I did the same thing. People who wanted to go where I wanted to go and people who knew how to get there, like they laid the groundwork. So I just needed to follow it. So I did medical scholars program. So it was a program that was at my college. And that program was something that was like, this is the path you need to take to be a doctor. This is the kind of courses you need to take. This is what you need to do. So every step of the way, every time you like went from level to level, you basically have to have a coach or somebody who's going to guide you along the way. Sometimes you got to do all the searching yourself. Like you have to find somebody who's going to help, you know, support you. Mm-hmm. Just like Tyler, right? You're like, hey, I want to do this. I grind all the time. And you found somebody who also has that same kind of energy, and you guys just keep pushing each other, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of accountability there. And we kind of like go back and forth. So I definitely hear you. And then we have, you know, big bros and stuff, you know, that kind of like help mentor and stuff too. So I think you need all of it. You need that community, whether it's your peers or somebody who's in the field actually doing the work, But at the end of the day, it's you putting in the work. So nobody can't do it for you. Even though he sometimes like, oh man, come on.
If only there's like you ever seen that one commercial where there was like an old guy just like sitting in a chair, he had all of these stickers stuck to his chest, and then there's another dude who's like lifting weights, and all the weightlifting he was doing was just going to the old guy. I wish somebody could do the work for you, but they really can't, man.
Yeah,
nobody can do crunches for you. Nobody can do the work for you. It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah, I think a lot of people go wrong with that. Like they forget about the work part. Like they want to be great and they want this, that, and the third. But then when it comes down to do the work, that's when it's like, oh, I'm tired. Oh, I can't do it. I don't know how to do this. And it's like, man, this is the part. This is the part where it makes you. This is the part where you start cultivating yourself and getting into that craft. And I really wish people would understand, like when you say something, you know, just be ready for do the work. Just be ready.
You want to hear a crazy statistic though?
Yeah, go ahead.
15 to 18 minutes a day. If you were to spend 15 to 18 minutes a day on any one skill set, if you did that every single day, you would be better than 92% of the people on this planet at whatever skill set you choose.
Wow.
Just think about that. Like if you were like every single day for 15 to 18 minutes, I'm going to play the violin. You're going to be better than 92% of the people. And it only usually takes about 3 years to get to a professional level. Wow. Like going from amateur to professional, that's all it takes. And it's a 15 minute, you know, thing, but that's too much time for people to commit to something, you know?
People make time.
It's like, I'd rather watch Netflix or I'd rather chill. But 15 minutes of just like, you know what? I'm going to study charts or I'm going to study real estate. I'm going to study this. That's all it takes. And a lot of people don't want to do it.
Dang, that's deep. That's deep. Can you get an applause for that or something? Like,
15 minutes is not a lot of time,
15
man.
15 minutes? Y'all can't do 15? Oh, man. So you carried that. I see you like, okay, so you carried this kind of grind, this kind of spirit into college. What was college like for you? Because we talk about college a lot this show. And we've had a lot of guests that's, you know, part of the frat that's been, you know, in the higher education realm. So what was college like for you? Or maybe you can talk about college in med school. Like, what do you think?
From my point of view, a lot of people might not like this answer. So I don't think college is 100% necessary.
Mm-hmm.
I think that education is necessary. And you don't have to be systematized or institutionalized in terms of your education. You just have to be willing to learn something.
Yeah.
And some of the best things in the world that you need to know to be either successful or to be great at what you're doing don't have to come from college. But if you are very passionate about what you want to do in life and you have a career that's based on education, then I'd recommend it. Like if you're going to be a doctor, if you're going to be a nurse, if you're going to be an engineer, if you're going to be a lawyer or something of that nature, college makes perfect sense. Or even if you want to be an educator, just so you get the experience, college makes sense. But if you're going and you're just going for the experience, going to college is like learning how to do your chores. Like once you understand how to do your chores, you don't really need someone to supervise you on doing your chores. You know how to make your bed already. Yeah. Now you just got to push yourself to educate yourself to do the best possible version of that.
So
in terms of school, I thought school was great. Like I didn't really have any struggles with school in terms of, well, financially it was a struggle. Everybody struggles
financially.
All right. That's the top ramen lifestyle. Right there.
Man.
Especially our culture.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Got financial aid, man. Shit. Try not to take all them loans. That's what got me, man. Exactly. The damn loans.
Financial aid is a crusher. Especially going to medical school. So that financial aid is just like stacked on stacked. It's just loans on top of loans. And they'll hand it to you. And it's crazy too. It's
they
like,
really do just give it to you.
They'll hand it to you. So if you're like, I want to start a business and I want to do real estate and do this, they're like, I don't really think so. You're like, I want to go to school to learn how to like do pottery. They're like, what kind of pottery? You're like, who cares? They're like, great, here's 200 grand. You're like,
grand.
What? You'll never make that back doing pottery, but all right.
By the way, we want money back now. Congratulations, you graduated. Here you go.
Right.
200 back.
Man, that's slide crazy. That so I'm pretty sure you didn't struggle too much in the studious part. What part of like school did you kind of struggle in? Like, I mean, you joined the frat, so was it like maybe the social aspect of like college that kind of You know what I mean? Because
the social aspect 100% was difficult. Okay. Because I'm not a very social person, to be honest. Like when it comes to being outspoken and social and going to parties and stuff like that, I joined the fraternity for the purpose of breaking my habits. So like I know for a fact I will sit in the library and study even when it's my birthday. I don't care. And I've done that like years in a row because like my birthday is in November. So, and a quarter system, that's when finals are coming up.
Yeah.
So in this case, I always spent my birthday in the library. Didn't care whatsoever. But in terms of trying to like enjoy life and not just being a robot who only does education, I tried to somehow break that. Mm-hmm. And also diversify and build my resume. Like, I'm like, hey, I do frats, I do this, I do that. How can I actually build? And we are people who are about, you know, we're about our business, we're about growing, we're about building. And I was like, you know what, this works for me. And our colors are royal blue. I'm like, bro, I love blue. Like, why can I not do this?
Right,
Bill Pure White in that mafia. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever? I was saying. So did it work? Like, did it help break that? Like robot mentality.
Nah.
I'm not gonna come on here and lie.
It didn't. I was like, I was still so task oriented that I'm so focused on stuff. We'd have parties, we'd have stuff like that, and I was like a no show so many times. When I did come out, it was almost like an event. They're like, I can't believe he showed up, because most of the times I wouldn't, because I'm grinding. I'm so focused on it.
Yeah, my first like signal party I went to, like you were there, but I never seen you at anything else after that. I seen you at like one. Like y'all had those white shirts on.
I know for me personally, because it's my LB. When we did finish like the process.
What process?
When
we crossed?
Yeah. When we joined the fraternity.
When we felt the light.
That was a hell of a process, man.
When we did, we you know started getting into like the activities and stuff. Like Tyrone, he would be outside early on, but like he was more towards like the business side of it. Like, what do we have to do? Do we need tables? Do we need the ticket sales? You know, he was more the business oriented person. Like some of us are more social, like, you know, the party, like I have fun at the party shit, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just trying to turn up, have fun. But, you know, I did notice that Tyrone, he was, towards that, business side of the frat thing. So, well, not frat thing, but you know, frat life.
Yeah. I mean, but I feel like everyone has a part to play, you know, it's necessary for everyone. And this is, I guess, what I kind of liked about Jordan. Like, you can just be yourself.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's okay because everyone has a part to play in this brotherhood puzzle. So we all can be doing the same things. We don't need people to be doing the same things.
Yeah.
We need different aspects, different parts of different gifts and intelligence to come together and build this thing together.
And you play towards your strengths.
Right, exactly. So, and that's just what Tyrone did, man.
That makes perfect sense because, like, for example, like some people have to turn the party up. Like some people have to be out there strolling, be like, "Hey!" Like, but I wasn't that person. I didn't bring the party energy. Like, if you followed me into the club to have fun and party, you would have been very disappointed. But if you were like, "Hey, I want to get in on time. I want to be organized. I want to make sure it's paid for. I want to make sure that everybody is structured." I'm like, then I was like, "Yo, I had this down to a science." I'm like, that part I had very organized.
Yeah, it
like,
was.
It came to drinks, anything like that. If it was business aspects, I was on it.
I think that's why I like the frat aspect so much because it's like everybody, you know, came together and just added their value, their contribution to it. So you know, we had a good frat, man. Like, I mean, it's still a good frat, but like during the time where it was like really going, like it was a good time. So I love it, man. Not to get too much school, but this medical stuff, man, like this is blowing my mind right now because we never had anybody who went to medical school on the frat. I mean, in the frat too. Not that I know of. And also on this show. So what is medical school like, bro? Like, is this shit like the hardest thing ever? Is this some Grey's Anatomy shit? Like, what is this?
All right. Medical school is like, all right, I guess the best analogy I can do. Medical school is like dying of thirst. and you're extremely, extremely thirsty. But when you go to take a drink, what they're doing is opening up a fire hose full blast, and you're trying to sip as much information from it as possible. So, like, knowledge is being thrown at you 100 miles an hour, and your job is to just try to drink as much as possible and survive, but also not drown. Like,
All right.
it's a weird balance. So
What's the
medical school was quite intense. So,
schedule like? What's the scheduling like? Like, are you, because I know law school, they don't even want you to take a job. So, like, are you just school only, or are you balancing life and school? Like, I know you don't have children right now. So, like, how is that for you? You know what I mean? As far as like.
When you're in school, you're like it's 100%. Because in this case, it's like I still actually did work. I worked as a paramedic at the same time, which is extremely daunting. But our schedule is like usually about 8 to 5 or 8 to 8 most of the time. So like our first classes would be about 8 o'clock or something like that. You'd have class for like 4 hours, and then you would be like for 2 hours you might do biochemistry, and then for like 2 hours you might do straight radiology, and then after that you might go to lunch, and then after lunch you go for 2 more hours and you'll do like anatomy labs, and you'll do breakdowns, and you'll do like cadavers and stuff like that. Then after that you might do like 2 more hours and it's all hematology, or it's all like slides, and you're sitting there looking at cross sections of the human body to like the finest detail. And then after that you're like, great, that's day one. Next day you do that again with all different topics, and you do that over and over and over again for like 3 4 years.
That's crazy.
That's
Four
crazy,
years,
bro. It's like
man. Big ups
nonstop.
to you, man. Big ups to you, man. That's huge though. Like, that's why, like, when you are in the thick of it, so we on the outside looking in, so you don't really see like the day-to-day grind
No.
that people go through, and all you see is, you know, the celebratory, like maybe the Instagram posts, you know what I mean? And like, hey, I graduated med school, I graduated law school, or I got my degree, or you know what I mean? But to see the actual day-to-day grind, that's the most valuable part. And you know, that's the transformation right there, because you know, I don't, people don't know this about you, but you used to be bigger than you are now. You know what I mean? Like, you used to you know, he has some weight on you. Can I get a Rick Ross real quick?
I used to be about
But
500 pounds or so, almost.
let me hold on. We're gonna get a Rick Ross for you, bro. That
You
you know,
crazy.
you was big
Hold
dog.
on. Let me see if you can see this. This is probably me at my biggest. Let me see.
Wow.
Oh. It's
Wow.
about
I don't even recognize you, bro. And
Yeah, man.
I used to be locked up with my brother. We was on, and I'd be like, it'd be sometimes where it'd be.
What was the key to
Oh,
that?
go
Like,
ahead, go ahead.
what was the key to like your weight loss and the
All my weight loss and stuff like
or,
that.
like what was your mentality? Like, what did something like happen and you were just like, you know what, I have to like be more healthy or more conscious or like what happened? Like
Two really critical things happened. One is I had a kid, and then two was.
I kid. I didn't even know that. Oh, I think
congratulations.
I did.
Practicing as a doctor, and you know how ridiculous it is to be a doctor and be like, hey, you can't be eating that. You got to be healthy. And I'm like here, like a whale. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to eat better. And then I go to the cafeteria. My man's out there smoking. I'm sitting here eating a cheeseburger. And we're like doing that Spider-Man where we both pointing at each other, like, it's like, yo, how you gonna say? And it's like, man, how you gonna say that? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm over here, you know, huge. I'm 500 pounds or almost and stuff like that. And I'm telling people to be healthier, but I'm not healthy myself. I'm not taking my own advice. I'm not living the same thing I'm supposed to be living. And then I also had a kid. I'm like, I can't chase this person around. I can't run around after a toddler, and I can't run more than 10 steps without feeling like I'm about to have an asthma attack. It's just not, doesn't make sense. So I had to do a lot of things to change, and it took a lot of time. So that was like, that picture I showed you is probably from 2015. So it's been about 6 or 7 years that I've been working on this process,
So
and now trying to go ahead.
how much weight have you lost so far, like since then?
Overall, probably about maybe 230, 240 pounds.
Man, I'm about to
Dang,
give
can we
you a
get
big
a
old
round of
sum,
applause for
man.
that?
A
That's
lot
my
of money
brother. That's my
for
brother.
your kid
That's
and weight loss,
my
man. Like, come on, man.
brother.
I'm about half of what I was. I think in that picture I was about 504. Now I'm about
That's a big up,
234,
man.
236.
That's beautiful, man.
Hell yeah, that's
I'm
the
sure it's
grind
been a
for sure.
grind. I'm sure it's been a lot of a lot of grind. So now, like, do you eat differently now? Like, how does your do you?
Yeah, how you do that?
How
shit?
Do you now? Like, what is the?
So I'm vegetarian.
Somebody
now.
Out there.
Oh, you vegetarian now?
Man, yeah, I'm vegetarian. So that part eliminated a lot of stuff because when I first became vegetarian about 6 years ago or so, that's when it was like going out to eat was almost like eliminated pretty much because like everybody didn't have, oh, we got Beyond Burgers and, you know, Beyond Chicken, whatever. Yeah. All of that wasn't out at the time. So in this case, when I was doing that, it wasn't there. So I'm like, there was no point to go to McDonald's or Burger King and be like, let me get a large fries and a large drink for absolutely no reason. And then no burger or no nothing else to eat with it. Right. Like even their salads had chicken, everything had meat in it. So once I cut meat out of my diet, I wasn't actually eating processed junk as much. My diet still sucked, which is why it took me so long, but I started to clean it up over and over again. So it's just again, it's a grind, it's a process. So right. I've just been working on perfecting my craft and getting better at my diet day in, day out. You know what I mean?
Salute to you on that, bro. Salute to you for that, so can you give a little bit more insight into like the food aspect? Why does food play such a factor in your overall health?
You want the basic version or you want like the true version?
I want the truth.
True, yeah.
Okay. I can handle the truth.
Yeah.
Well, the truth is in the end of the 70s and the 80s, most of our major food corporations were bought by mega corporations. So in this case, these are $1 billion and, you know, like multi-billion-dollar corporations who bought and did transitions to where food is no longer considered real. Food mostly fabricated. So what I mean by that is, so think about cigarettes. You know what's in cigarettes, right? Like a bunch of stuff, right? A bunch of poison, a bunch of toxins and stuff like that. And it's made to be addicting and it's made to where people can buy it. Mm. But does everybody smoke?
No.
No,
not everybody doesn't smoke, but everybody eats. So there are three major tobacco corporations and they bought all of the subsidiary food corporations. So like things like Nabisco, General Mills, all these companies, they're owned by major tobacco companies. And what do tobacco companies want to do? They want people to be addicted to things. So there's stuff like Cheerios. People are like, oh, Cheerios is good for your heart. Cheerios is not good for your heart. Cheerios is actually trash. But they paid lots of money to different businesses in order to get those kind of things. So like the American Heart Association, they paid like $21 million to have the American Heart Association promote Cheerios as a health food when it, in fact, it is not. It's not a health food at all. It's actually trash. So in this case, it's like people think that they're eating healthy when in reality, they have no idea what's really in their food. So stuff like that.
I didn't have no clue that those tobacco companies had bought up food companies.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it has happened. They're mega corporations now. So like RJ Miller and stuff like that. Companies you probably never heard of own things like Nabisco or own General Mills. So things that you have heard of are owned by bigger corporations. Mm-hmm. And their intention is to make stuff to where it's highly addictive. Yeah. Their goal is to make it addictive to where you want it on a regular basis. So most stuff that we have in America are banned in other countries. Things like Skittles. Skittles have titanium dioxide in it, known to cause renal cancer. It causes renal cancer. And it's been like that for like maybe the last 7 or 8 years. And they know this for a fact. It's still sold in America. It's banned in every other country in the world. You cannot buy it. Why? Because it causes cancer. But the same thing is we use it for coloring. Stuff like ranch dressing has it in it. Stuff like Cheerios has it in it. Stuff like all these things have cancer-based products in it and people buy them in bulk. And then we're also a capitalist society. So you have to do
that is the biggest
based on what you can afford.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine you're a family. You're like, right? You're a single mom with three kids. You have to feed them. What's cheaper? Is it easier to go to Whole Foods, buy lettuce, buy tomatoes, buy everything that's healthy and then make a salad and that salad lasts for one night? Or can you go buy Cheerios, go buy Sunny D, they have breakfast for the whole week. You go buy some milk, the milk is pasteurized and it doesn't have real enzymes that they can break down and use properly. You go and buy some bread and some grilled cheese sandwiches. You buy a bag of Cheetos that has MSG. All of a sudden you have everything that's all high dense calories and no nutrition. So people are obese for no reason because we're eating nonsense.
Wow, that's crazy.
Man.
I'm not giving my students Skittles no more.
Please don't. Yes. Skittles is terrible.
I always said McDonald's, they fries got some crack in it, but maybe it's something else. See? Yeah. So Mills in there.
McDonald's actually has a lot of aluminum in their food as well. Actually, it's probably 100 times the actual normal amount. So when you think about stuff like canola oil, seed oils, grapeseed oils, these are things that are highly polyunsaturated carbons, also known to cause cancer. The thing is, you're supposed to use the grease one time and then rarely. But now imagine you're using it day in and day out, and you have flash frozen fries.
They don't throw that away.
Yeah,
even they don't. They keep it for like a week or two, and then they only throw it away when someone tells them they have to. But
people do it.
So you superheat it, right? So like you superheat polyunsaturated carbons, which are in these oils, and then you put flash frozen fries, which are also like not real fries, but they're mixed with other things, right? They're not just regular potatoes. They're mixed with other things. They're mixed with preservatives. They're mixed with chemicals to keep them frozen and fresh for as long as humanly possible. Mm-hmm. And then you fry it. So you have cancer-based French fries being fried at super high temperatures in a cancer-based oil substance over and over again. And then on top of that, you're reheating it and then heating it again. So you go home, you turn it off at night, and then tomorrow they make a new batch. So guess what? You have this big, fat, processed burger with all of this chemicals in it, that you have this amazing thing of French fries that's giving you cancer. And then you get a big old thing of Coke that has sugar and processed stuff in it as well. And that's the human diet. Like it's just trash.
That's American diet right there.
That's an American diet. Cancer-based diet.
Right. So overseas, they don't do a lot of that stuff.
They do not.
So what are like the main ones to try to stay away from, like just to help the people out there? What should they for sure just try to stay away from to live a better life, to live a healthier life, have a better diet? Like which one should they be kind of steering clear? Because I know I heard you say titanic dioxide. I don't know if that's
titanium dioxide.
Titanium dioxide.
So you'll find it in a lot of foods, like MSG or monosodium glutamate. Like they... Mm-hmm. The thing about ingredients, this is a funny thing, is like people can't poison you without telling you what the poison is.
Yeah, because
that's kind of the rules. So in this case, they'll tell you what the ingredients are, but people don't actually think about what the ingredients are. So if you get a bag of chips and it says, this is made with cheese powder, and then people stop. But if you see processed soy and then monosodium glutamate and then other stuff you can't pronounce, you're like, you stop at that point.
I'm just going to get it. It's good. It tastes good.
Yeah, it tastes good, right? Then you stop. It's meant to taste good. It's meant to entice you. It's meant to make you want more. It's addicting for that reason. But some stuff to stay away from would be like a lot of polyunsaturated oils would be good to stay away from. Like there's things that people use and they're known and linked to cause things like dementia. They're known to cause cancer. The crazy part is people who, let's say you smoke 2 packs of cigarettes every year for like the next 16 to 20 years. Mm-hmm. You're less likely to get cancer than someone who uses vegetable oil on a regular basis. That makes sense. You'd be like, my grandma never smoked. How come she has colon cancer? And my grandpa smokes like a chimney, but he doesn't have cancer. Why is that? Because she cooks every day. And what is she cooking with? She cooks with the big vegetable oil thing that's super huge. Because it's way cheaper than the small, concentrated, good-for-you oil, you know?
Yeah.
But that also goes with, you know... I think people are so a victim of their circumstance sometimes.
You gotta
work with what you have. Mm-hmm. Like, and you come from, you know, poverty or the upbringing and stuff like that.
Exactly.
It's the culture.
It's the culture and what they feed, like they, you know, government, you know, their fake help and all that. And it's just, you're working what you got. Like, I'm sure a lot of people want to probably eat healthier.
Yeah,
and they look
at
the prices, they'd be like, I can't afford to be doing this on a weekly basis. Like,
it feels impossible. If you go to like Whole Foods and you're like, I want to get some organic tomatoes, and you're like, what? They're like $4 a pound, and you got 2 tomatoes, that's $8.
Right.
Versus you can go buy a whole bag of chips, a loaf of bread, and some cheese, and you can feed your family for two or 3 days.
Exactly.
Like, a huge difference. And I know because I grew up on Section 8 and stuff like that.
So how do they how do they get out of that? You know what I mean? How do they get out of the ritual of, you know, buying the stuff that's just going to serve them right now and not serve them long term? You know, the healthy food is going to serve them long term, and they're going to have a better diet, live longer lives, feel overall better, you know, their energy, everything. But you know, at the same time, they don't have this necessary income to necessarily, yeah. you know, you, do that. You know what I mean?
It's all survival mode. It's all survival mode week to week with that.
You sacrifice in the short term, but I mean, you sacrifice in the long term, getting the short term, but you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, is so how do you do that?
So in this case, how I teach it with my students is I teach investing because investing is something that actually gets you out of survival mode. So there are two aspects when it comes to living life. There's survival mode and there's thriving and growth mode, right? Uh-huh. If you're just surviving, this is an analogy I like to use, right? You ever been to the beach before?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. Some people love the beach. It's amazing, right?
Best place ever.
You ever been to the beach and had like a near drowning experience?
No, but I've been stung by a stingray. That's for sure.
It's not so fun, right? It's like you imagine you go out to the beach to enjoy the water and you're just getting pummeled wave after wave. You went out to swim and have fun and you're just getting pummeled wave after wave. That's kind of how it is when people are living in survival mode. You're out there, you're just trying to stay above water, and then boom, bills are coming. Boom, expenses are coming. Boom, your kids need this. Boom, your car is broken. Now all of a sudden you have wave after wave. You cannot enjoy the beach. It's not fun. You're drowning to death. It sucks. You're just trying to live. But if you're in thriving and survival mode, like that's different. Because once you're thriving and enjoying, that's when you're sitting on the beach having a cocktail and you're looking at the sunset. You're like, this is an amazing place. The person that's drowning is like, help me. And the person who's sitting on the beach is like, this is great. They don't have the same views on life. And it took a while for me to understand that I need to get out of survival mode. And I was in survival mode. And matter of fact, I was in survival mode even as a doctor. And most people don't believe that or think that because being a doctor doesn't make you rich. Matter of fact, it's no different than working paycheck to paycheck if you don't know how to manage money.
Yeah, I think that's super key.
That's a huge difference. Most people are like struggling with that. Yeah. Because even for myself, when I first became an attending, like I finished my residency, I'm done with all my medical boards and stuff like that. Now I'm working as an attending. I had so much school loans. And then I got a house. I got a car and I'm like, okay, great. I just need these things in order to do my job. I was broke. Every single time I got paid, all of it went to bills. I had nothing left to show for it. As a doctor, I was in survival mode. How embarrassing is that? Went to school for 20 years. I'm like, I'm finally going to be rich. I'm finally going to make money. Yeah. Still broke.
Yeah, that's crazy. That money management is super important. Investing is important. I do want to go into investing with you because I think a lot of people do need to hear a lot of the stuff you have to say about investing because that's the key. That's the pillar, like where you know you go from survival mode to thriving. To get away from the 9 to 5 or the paycheck to paycheck to paycheck, you know, you got to invest in order to get out of that ritual that I got to find a better word for that. But out that
cycle.
Yeah, there we go.
You have to break that cycle.
Yeah, you got
to
break that cycle. But before you go into that, because we were talking about food and diet. So a lot of this is kind of controversial. A lot of people blame the medical industry for, you know, the capitalization of, you know, people's health and their turmoil, their trauma, whatever they go through. And they like to point the blame on the health industry for not properly healing them, medicating them, but not healing them. You know what I mean? Do you think it's more on the medical side to have that responsibility to help the people maybe understand more how to get healthy? Or do you think it's on the people side to try to, change their habits, make more sacrifices? Because maybe I understand the fact that, you know, everybody has to make money. We live in America. It just is what it is.
Yeah.
But is it too much on this medical side to, are we giving too much responsibility to them to try to help the people heal, or you know what I mean? Are their intentions pure, or do you kind of more see it as they're just, you know, just trying to get money? Like, and I don't give a fuck about the people.
So you know? I'll ask you again. So you want the placated easy version, or you want the truth?
Shit, we on the grind show, bro. We keep it honest on here. Yeah, like,
okay. So if you want the truth, you know, the issue with the truth is that everything in our world is controlled by mega corporations. and they're linked together. So if you're eating unhealthy food, it's processed garbage and it's junk. The processed food that you're eating is going to make you sick. When you get sick, you have to rely on someone to try to help keep you afloat. Yeah. Not make you healthy, keep you afloat. So in order to do that, you get trained in order to make sure that pharmaceutical companies make money on their end. Imagine it being like your best friend. So in this case, if your best friend owns a McDonald's and you own a pharmacy, if the McDonald's makes everyone have high blood pressure, as a pharmacy, aren't you going to do well when your friend goes, oh, they all have high blood pressure because I'm giving them these salty, crappy fries? When they get high blood pressure, as a pharmacist, you are now giving them the money, or you're giving them the medicine that they need. They'll give you money too in order to fix it. But if people stopped eating the fries, how much high blood pressure would they have? So the thing is, it's a huge corporation, so that they're not independent. So when you say medicine, it's not people individually like, oh, all these doctors just want money. It's not how it works. Yeah. Doctors work usually for a company or a corporation. So they're just cogs in the same wheel. So if I'm a doctor, doesn't matter how much I want to help you, I can only do what I'm trained to do and what they allow me to do based on policies. So if I want to help you as much as I humanly can, but the policies state that I have to give you certain medications because these are the rules, what am I supposed to do? I have to work within the confines of that.
Yeah.
So if you want to free yourself, if you want to make yourself healthier, you have to first start investing in yourself. So it doesn't cost money to invest in yourself. You have to invest in your health first. What does it take to invest in your health? If you got the internet, you have the ability to read. If you have the ability to read, you can see what's in your food. If you have the ability to make small changes over time, you can start avoiding the things that are making you sick. You can choose to work out instead. You can choose to drink water over buying juice or going and drinking at the club and stuff like that.
Or liquor.
Or liquor, exactly. You can choose the more positive things over the more negative things.
Yeah.
But you start seeing the results or the return on that investment, you'll invest more into it. Like I hated when I first started. When I first started working out, I was like, on a treadmill. Imagine there's a 500-pound dude on the treadmill. I press the start button. I'm like, it's already too fast. It didn't even start yet. But my goal was like, you know what? I'm going to hit a mile. Regardless of what happens, I'm going to make sure I go at least 1 mile. I don't care if I have to walk, crawl, roll. I don't even, even if I have to fall on the treadmill and you roll me like a Oompa Loompa, I'm going to make it at least a mile.
Yeah.
And that's going to become my base. So now I'm like, I'm going to do this no matter what, day in and day out. So it went from I couldn't walk it to now I can just sprint it. Like I can run the whole thing. You know what I'm saying? Over and over and over again without having any issues because it took small steps. It wasn't easy. It was hard. It was difficult.
Yeah.
Again, this is the grind, right? So if you're grinding to a better life rather than the ones you have to make that choice.
It seems like you wanted it for yourself. A lot of self-love and self-care within yourself. So I don't know if everybody has that in them. I think they do, but it's like you said, it's hard for them. So maybe they get discouraged. You know, the lack of discipline. You know, it's more of a spiritual transformation, if you ask me. You know what I mean? Like, it's the mindset changing from how I used to think to how it thinks now. And you know, I commend you on it, bro. Like that's no easy feat. That's no easy feat. And the reason why I'm asking about this is because, you know, I want people to be able to do the same thing you did, to overcome those obstacles, to dig within themselves, find that love for themselves, and be able to transform their lives, whether it be their diet, whether it be financially, their love life, whatever it is. You know, you can do it. You can do it, but it's gonna take work.
It's gonna take work, and you're gonna have to invest in yourself.
Yeah, like
that's why I go by the MD investor. The only thing that saved my life was investing. And most people think when I say investing, I'm talking about money, but I don't mean just money saved my life. Right. Having a wealthy mentality and thinking about wealth in terms of, now when I say wealth, I mean wealth, health, and happiness. I'm like, I want to be wealthy so I can break these cycles. Because if I eat trash, my kids will eat trash. If they eat trash, their kids will eat trash. If they eat trash, they're all going to be sick. So that's not really building a wealthy lifestyle. And they need to be healthy lifestyle as well, right? If I work out, they'll see that I work out on a daily basis. They'll also want to work out. So they build up habits as well. And then when you're trying to be happy, I guarantee you, being broke sucks. Being wealthy can also suck. But the thing is, you have to choose which suck you want. Do you want a crappy lifestyle where you're like broke and you're like, I can't afford to eat? Or do you want to be like, well, being money, like more money, more problems, but it's easier to take on more problems because you've built yourself up to understand it and move forward with it, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather have a big tax bill than to be like, I can't feed my kids. Like, that's not the same. I'd rather have those rich people problems than poor people.
Yeah, you increase your capacity to deal with stuff.
To deal with it, exactly. You train yourself up.
Train yourself. Yeah, that's key.
Never think that you don't have problems. You'll have problems in life regardless. Life will be hard regardless. The only difference is whether or not you train yourself to be better at understanding those problems and fighting through it.
Yeah, I think that is major gems. Major gems. Yeah, I hope everybody cooks something out of that because that was huge. It's a day by day. It's a day by day thing. You know, it's not gonna be this easy every day. It's not gonna be the same every day. Every day is different. But if you keep fighting and you keep pushing yourself, you will succeed. You know, and that's to me, like for me personally, when I started going after my goals and my dreams and my purpose, that's when I got more happy. You know, that's when I started. You know. One milestone, I got like, hey, I kind of doing this, you know.
There you go,
and you just keep going, and like, oh, I'm doing it. Like, hey, this, I'm actually kind of getting good at this, and you know, you just start building, and eventually, that goal, you know, maybe it happens, or maybe it don't, but you become somebody during that process, and you'll be like, dang, I look like Tyrone's picture. I look completely different than what I used to, you know. So it's
when you start living in your true purpose in life, then you'll actually start to feel the difference. Like, you'll never feel fulfilled in life if you're not working towards your overall goal or your purpose and mission. Yeah. So there's a lot of times that happens. I'll have friends who are like, they'll do medicine and hate it with everything that they have. And the same thing was for me. When I started medicine, I hated it. And I was like, I'm working paycheck to paycheck. I'm working nonstop and I still have nothing to show for it. But then I have to remember, what was the mission? Why did I do this in the first place? It was to be able to help people. And it was also to help get people on the right track. But in order to do that, I had to break a lot of the restraints and confines that I had. So I had to change up my approach. And when I started investing in myself, I started investing in business and creating business. That's when I was like, you know what? This is my purpose. My purpose is to teach and educate and help people. So the more I educate people, the more people I can help.
Yeah.
But in a hospital, I can only help people when I'm physically there. With education, what if I write a book? Or what if I have a podcast? Or what if I have a way to share my information with everyone so that they have access to it? And when they have access to it, it falls on more ears. And those more people, like, maybe it just takes a little bit. Maybe one sentence gets people on the right track to, you know what, say, hey, I could do this. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, man. Let's get it. Man. Let's get it, man. Yep. And I like the part where you said, you know, if you really want to, like, if you want to help people, like, that's what's fueling you. You know, your mom can feel you, your dad can feel you. Like, if you really want to help your family, your friends, and, you know, some people claim they're selfless. If you really are, then you got to big yourself up. You know what I mean? You got to get yourself together so you can be of assistance, so you can be of help. And, you know, I think we're all dudes. We all do say, like, we want to help, but it's like, okay, now when it comes to getting ourselves together, you gotta get right. You know what I mean? So
facts.
Let's keep it going though. Yeah, so let's get
talking to this investing.
Yeah, what yes, I'm sir. Yeah. Let's get this money.
Because I'm not much of a big investor right now. So I'm here for the education for sure. I like to pick up on gems and like good principles to as I start out on my investing journey.
So then I'll say it like this. The easiest way to understand investing is to realize that anything and everything in life is a business and that you make money on the entry and not the exit. That's how you make money. And most people don't understand that concept. So like, it sounds super simple. It's like, you've ever heard the phrase, okay, buy low, sell high.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. Everyone's heard that, but no one actually applies it to actually their lives. Right. So let's think about it. If I'm doing real estate deals, because I do a lot of real estate. If I'm doing real estate deals, if a property is selling for $60,000, I'm not going to offer $60,000 because that's not where I'm making my money. My money is going to be on the entry point. Mm-hmm. So in this case, if it's about worth $60,000, I'll offer 40. Right? Mm-hmm. Some people will be insulted, but imagine there's 10 people, all of them want to sell their house, and I'm like, hey, I'll offer you 40, I'll offer you 40. And one person takes it. How much did I just make?
20 grand.
Off the back. I just made 20 just because one person accepted my offer. It's the same thing with anything, though, because people think, oh, I don't have that much to buy real estate. Great. How much is it for Jordans? Right? Mm-hmm. If Jordans are going for 220 a pop and I'm able to get four or five pair for 100, how much did I make? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I'm making 120 per pair. Or if I'm doing that with Rolexes or vending machines or trucks or anything, it doesn't matter what it is. It's all about what you're interested in, what you're passionate about, and then understanding how to make money on the entry point. So a lot of people are like, oh, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a grinder and stuff like that. Whatever it is, the thing is, once you have the passion for whatever it is that you want to do, you invest more into that passion. So I have cousins who are like, hey, I'm starting a candle company. Great. How much per unit does it cost to make one candle? If it costs you $3 per candle and you're selling them for $12 or $10, you made money on the entry because it cost you three, you sold it for 12. It's per unit. It's a volume game. So if I have one property, or if I have 10 properties, 10 properties is 100K or 200K, you know what I'm saying? So you see how that works?
I get you. For the people out there, how do you find your gift? Like, how do you find your passion? You know, I know for you, you kind of had a light shine on you from the guy and, you know, your experience as a childhood. How would you suggest other people go by finding their passions and what they're good at their gifts?
So here's the thing is that everybody already has their gift. It's already there. The difference is whether or not you decided to pay attention to it. So in this case, like, you might be like, oh, I like, you teach second grade or whatever, right? So if you're doing that at this point in time, you're like, why do you do that? Do the kids like you? You're like, yeah, they like you. Like, do you show up at your job drunk and pissed off and you hate it? Or do you actually enjoy it and you actually enjoy giving information to the next generation? Mm-hmm. Which means if you do enjoy it, you already found your gift. Your gift is education and teaching. How do you spread your gift? Now you have a podcast where you actually educate more people. You're using your same gift. Mm-hmm. So now you just have to see how your gift is packaged. If you're like, you hop up on here and you're like, oh, let me tell you about how I made this amazing sweater. Then your gift is creation and content creation. So now all of a sudden you're doing the same thing. If your gift is creation, then use your creation and then start sharing your gift. So people have different gifts and then most of the time they ignore it.
Yeah.
Ignore the signs that you have that gift.
Yeah. And then they don't want to share it.
They don't want to share it. That's the thing is your gift is not for you. It's for someone else. Like that's the huge difference.
Yeah.
Your gift, whatever your gift is not for you. If your gift is teaching and you keep it to yourself, then who are you teaching? It's not for you. If you're singing and you only sing in the shower, then you're keeping it to yourself. And it's not for you. Yeah. Exactly. If your gift is singing at church, great. That's it. How do you help more people? How do you show your gift to more people? And once you embrace it, and then you're like, hey, my job is to share this gift with the world, not just the city, but the world, Craig. That's how you start actually, you know,
world, Craig.
That's how you actually start to make a difference. And that's how you can also create a business. Your business should reflect your gift. And once you start sharing that gift with other people, your business is going to thrive. Because the more people you help, the more successful you'll be.
Mm-hmm. So it's investing in people.
Yeah, exactly. Your investment should always be in people. So first invest in yourself, then invest in however you can help other people.
Mm.
Now, if you don't know where to start and you want to do something concrete, real estate has been there for hundreds of years. The stock market has been there for hundreds of years. Like, there's businesses that already exist. Now, if you can find something that you like, you don't have to create something from scratch. Mm-hmm. Most people are like, oh, I want to make sure that I have an amazing trucking company. Why? If you really love trucks like that, just go buy a trucking company. You can do it way easier than you think.
Yeah.
Right. Yes, so everything is buying a business. Even when you buy a property, like most people are like, oh, I bought this property. No. I bought this house to live in. No, you bought a business.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You leverage your business in order to get it at a good price. So if you buy a business and you live there yourself, let's say it's a duplex, it's 3.5% down if you do an FHA, which means you're buying a business that might, let's say it costs $100,000 to buy as a duplex. Of course, stuff costs more than that, but it's $100,000. You would have to pay $3,500 for $100,000 business. Tell me that's not a great deal.
It's an awesome deal.
An awesome deal. You got a $100,000 business for $3,500. That's your entry. Did you win?
That's $3,500 for those who don't know math.
$3,500, right?
I'm sorry. I'll be trying to simplify it as much as possible.
No. But it makes sense though, right? Even if you're an investor and you're like, hey, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to save up some of my money. The duplex is $100,000. I'm going to put down 20%. So if you're putting 20%, you owe 20 grand, right? Or $20,000. If you owe $20,000 and you're buying a $100,000 business, did you make money? Did you win? That's $80,000 in equity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So now you take the $20,000 that you saved up for 2 years, 3 years, whatever it took. You saved up, you live in one of these units, and then you rent out the other one. And if that's the case, at $100,000, imagine your mortgage is like $850 a month. You charge one person $900 to live in there, and you're living rent-free. So now all of a sudden, you're not paying rent at all. Now it's $50 a month in your pocket that's profit. Is $50 a month a lot? No. But are you paying rent? Nope. Now you're just saving your money again.
Yeah.
You keep on saving it. You buy the next property, and the next property, and the next property. And 20 years later, you're a multimillionaire.
Insurance
property for forever,
and you can buy better food. Now you can
exactly
in your kids. Now you can live that healthy lifestyle that you've been wanting. So
one person has to sacrifice.
Yeah, that's it.
Just one person in the family has to sacrifice. It's just whether or not it's going to be you.
Yeah, and I've noticed that it started on our generation for the most part.
Yeah, for us it had to be us.
So. Some of the past generations, they kind of kickstarted it a little bit, but like, I feel like our generation is the generation where it's like, it's amplified right now because we do have access to the information. You know,
you watch anime?
Yeah, I love anime.
Yeah. All right. Cool. It's like, we're like the My Hero Academy class. Like we're the class that has to break through the plus ultra, right? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's been bad before, but like, we have to push it to the next level to actually have that freedom.
Yeah.
If anybody gets that reference.
We're like Shinobis.
Exactly, right?
For Naruto fans out there.
Yeah, so we're the Naruto generation in this case, right?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, that's good, man. What I had a question for you too.
Go ahead, shoot.
You know, for investing purposes, do you think that you have to leave? Well, you're in New York and that's a pretty high market. But do you think, like, because Cali's a high market, do you think that you should be more flexible to leave your area? Because most people grew up in their spots where they're at, and you know they want to stay home or where they're from. Would you suggest people leave to kind of increase their opportunities or you know their availability or income to invest?
I think people should go wherever growth is. Mm-hmm. So in this case, for example, I've moved around a lot. A lot of people don't know this, but
even though
I'm from Cali, I've gone to where the growth is. So even when I did my residency, that was in New York. Mm-hmm. After that, I went to Pennsylvania. After Pennsylvania, I went back to California. And after I was in California, I was like, am I growing to the next level? Just because it's my home doesn't mean that's where I'm supposed to be. You know what I mean? Like, that's why it's like birds are supposed to leave their nests.
Mm-hmm.
If you always fly back to the nest, you're only sticking to what's familiar with you. There's no growth there.
Yeah.
If you're like, I know every corner, I know every person, I know every block, I know everything, right? Then what's different to you? What's the growth? So then now I just moved to Georgia and I have no roots in Georgia. Yeah. There's nothing here for me except for me growing and building. So when things become stagnant, I'm like, you know what? Let's get up and move. Why? Because I have opportunities. Go where the growth is at. If my goal is to build a farm and feed my family healthy food and make sure that I know from the soil to their plates, I know exactly what my kids are putting in their body, then I'm going to control every aspect of it. Yeah. Can I build a nice, really big farm in California? No, I can't get the land that I need. I'm like, it's either a desert or it's next to Beverly Hills and it's
mostly desert.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's mostly desert. California is a desert, right? So if I want to grow fruitful land to last for forever, it's not going to work.
Yeah, that's key, man. That's changing key. The environment, man. That's a huge gem right there. I think a lot of people, they get into that comfort zone where they feel like they can't get out, that stuck in the mud, that stuck in the grind. You know, you know, stuck in the hood or whatever, and they can't.
They live in places that they didn't even choose. They're like, oh, my great grandmother moved to California and stayed in Inglewood 50 or 60 years ago, and now our whole family is from here. Yeah. Great. Why don't you leave? Mm-hmm. What's making you stay there?
They won't leave.
What's making
What's making you stay there? You know it's expensive. You know you're living paycheck to paycheck. Yeah. What's stopping you from going to Vegas or going to Arkansas or just building somewhere else? Oh, it's uncomfortable, or you're alone, or you don't have family. Yeah. So do it anyway. Do what's going to give you growth and break the cycle.
Yeah. So how bad do you really want it, man?
How bad do you want it?
Really want it? That's what it's coming down to. Man, that's huge. Man, so many gems in this right now, bro. Yeah. I want to keep going, but I want to be respectful of your time. I guess my last question probably...
You can go for a few more minutes.
Okay. Well, how do you get out that comfort zone then? Like, because I know for you, it wasn't easy.
I got to follow up after that.
Though. Okay, yeah. After so that. How would you suggest people get out the comfort zone?
How do you break your comfort zone? Your comfort zone literally has to start with you knowing what your limitations are and accepting it. If you're like, you know what, I'm working this 9 to 5, I'm barely making it happen. Mm-hmm. How do I break my comfort zone? So now for me personally, this was a very big challenge for me. So again, when I started off, I was working paycheck to paycheck as an attending physician, right? So I'm an attending at this hospital. I'm getting paid. So I'll even share that with you. I'm getting paid about $250,000 a year, which sounds like a lot of money. And it should be, but
hell yeah.
It sounds like you're like, oh, you need $250,000 a year, right?
That's pretty nice.
Give me that.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
That's what I was thinking too. I was like, this is a good paycheck. This should be great. But here's the thing.
Bahamas, baby.
What's the difference between a salary and actually having money in your pocket? A salary means that your entire year of life is worth that much money. That's somebody telling you that you can't make more than this within a year of your life, that your year is already dedicated to them and you owe it to them.
Mm-hmm.
When I felt that, it actually made me quite depressed. I was frustrated to say that somebody was like, this is a cap on my life and this is my ceiling. Mm-hmm. When someone goes, you spent 20 years of your life studying and doing medicine and stuff like that, I think that you're worth this much and this much only for the next 30 years of your life. And I'll pay you this every single year. Now, what made this really suck was that we actually had a financials meeting at this job. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we did on an annual basis. They tell you how much revenue you actually produce as a physician and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then what you actually got paid. They don't say that in the same meeting, but think about it. How much did I say I made? Like 250, right?
Yeah.
Guess how much I produced in my first year there?
As you working for the company?
Mm-hmm.
What, 600? A million?
I produced about 3 million.
Dang.
And how much did they pay me? Less than 10% of what I produced.
Dang.
Less than 10%, which sounds like sounds like I'm asking for a lot, but they're paying me less than 10% of what they think I'm worth.
And what you made them.
Yeah, I made them 3 million. They paid me 250. And then not only that, I still have to pay for taxes. They're still going to take money out of my health insurance and stuff like that, right? Yeah. So health insurance, taxes is and the middle class is the heaviest. So I'm paying about 28% in taxes. So before I even touch my check, 28% of it is gone, plus the 2-4% that's going to either my health and care. So about 30% of my check is gone before it comes to me.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I still have to pay for my school loans. I have to pay for all my bills. I got to pay for groceries. Yep. I got to pay for my house. I got to pay for lights, phone, but everything that everybody else has to pay for, right? So at the end of the month, I'm flat broke. I don't have anything. And this happened for an entire year. And after a year, and then the straw that broke the camel's back was when they were like, they told me that I didn't qualify to get a bonus, even though I was the highest producer there and I did the most work. They said that the bonuses were based on teams. So everyone has to do well or no one gets a bonus.
That's some bull. Nope.
Now, here's the thing. If we're playing basketball, if I'm LeBron and my teammate's Luke Walton, and you're telling me that you're not going to pay me my contract because Luke Walton can't shoot, bro, get out of here with that nonsense.
I'm leaving or ask for a trade or he's got it.
That's when you switch teams. And that's what I did. And what I had to do was difficult because now it was me and my wife and my kid.
Yeah.
I sold my house and I moved in with my parents as an adult. as a full attending. When I talk about doing something that's uncomfortable, comfortable would have been staying in my own house, having my own rules, not listening to anybody else. What I did was I sold my house, I quit my job, and I moved to California, and I lived with my mom. And that was rough because we split bills. So all of my bills were cut. I no longer had a house that I owned. I didn't have to pay a mortgage. I didn't have to pay all these things. Now this freed up a lot of money. And what do you think I did with that money?
You invested it.
That's what I did. I invested it. So I went to investing 90% of everything I made. So that means every single time I showed up to work, you know why I felt different? Because every time I went to work, I wasn't getting a paycheck to pay a bill. I was getting a paycheck to invest in my future. And it felt great. It felt different. And that's the reason it felt different, is because I wasn't showing up like, oh man, I can't believe this. Like, I got to pay this. I got to pay. No, it was like, I showed up to work and I was like, I can't wait to get my paycheck because I'm going to buy more stocks. I can't wait to get my paycheck because I'm going to buy more property. I'm going to make sure that my kids have this for their future. And I'm just going to invest it to where I know that what I'm putting my money towards is for me and not for anyone else.
Yeah, that journey, man. Dang, woo, give it up for my brother.
That's what made the huge difference. On
that one. Sure. That sacrifice, man, that's the part that people aren't willing to make because of the pride, the ego, you know what I mean? It takes a lot to, like, oh, I'm a grown-ass man, but I live at home with moms and pops.
That part is that hard. I mean?
And we've been cultivated to where we think, like, oh, you can't stay at your house or with your parents longer than 18. And you gotta go, you know what I mean? So
that's a cultural thing for our skin color, not for other people. There's other people who are like, you stay here until you figure it out.
Yeah.
Right. Our parents and our family generations were kicking out children and then making them experience the world by suffering rather than cultivating them and guiding them to the next level.
Yeah.
And if you were like, instead of your mom treating you like trash or kicking you out when you were young, like I left home when I was 16, but imagine if I stayed and they were like, hey, you can stay until you're 20 or you're 30 and whatever you need, you can help me. What if I learned about investing back then? If I started buying properties back then, I might be 10 years faster than I was. I might be 10 years wealthier than I am now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I could have been way ahead of the game, but instead I got kicked out, or not. I didn't get kicked out. I went to school.
So yeah, same here.
I just went to school early. I didn't actually get kicked out. My mom's amazing. But I went to school early and I left home early to focus on school rather than focus on building as a person.
Man, so many gems.
And that's, I think that's my little question, the segue that's actually perfect, because I'm like, I was just going to ask you, do you believe in making like ways where you are? Like, it's okay to be at your parents' house if you need to. It's okay to be here as long as you're doing. Do you believe in, like, as long as you're doing something and not like using that as an excuse not to do something?
Leeching off your parents or something like that.
Or just
I don't care how you do it. So here's a part where I guess I have to preference. I don't care what you have to do to survive, because when you're surviving, it's about survival, right? Like, if you're stuck in the woods and you're like, oh, I'm vegan and I want to, but you kill a pig because you're either going to die or you're going to starve to death, or you need to live, right? You have to survive.
Yeah.
So yeah, great, you're vegan, but you had to kill that pig to eat, right? You had to survive. Once you're done surviving, you start growing and living. Yeah, great. Go back to being vegan. But in this case, when you're young, that's the best time. And if you're not young, do whatever it takes to get to the next level. If you're struggling on your bills and you're like, you know what, I'm struggling. If you got a friend or two and they're struggling too, do what's uncomfortable. Sell your places, get one place, live in an apartment together, split the bills for a year or two, stack up your money, go buy properties together. You see what I'm saying? Like, find a partner who's going to help. If you can't do it alone, find a teammate. If you can't find a teammate, then just rely on yourself. You know what I'm saying? Do whatever it takes to get out of the survival mode, because once you start experiencing growth, life is different. Yeah. Life is way better when you're not drowning in the beach, when you're enjoying it with a cocktail. It's way different lifestyle.
Right. So for the people out there, man, for this discussion, what would you say was the best part for you? Like, was it the hard parts? Was it the easy parts? What was the most satisfying? Like, yeah, I did this. Or God is, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, what was it for you? You know what I mean? That gave you that sense of, I guess, fulfillment and joy.
That's an interesting question, only because I don't feel that. I feel like it's an ongoing stepping process. So like most people were like, oh, you were probably super proud when you were a doctor. I didn't really feel super proud. It's like, once I became a doctor, I was like, great, now I can go to the next level. Mm-hmm. And then once I got there and I was like, you know what? It's not what it's supposed to be. I need to level up again. Yeah. Even when I am now, it's like, great, I might be comfortable or life is okay or thing, you know what? But it's just a stepping stone mm-hmm. because the need to get to the next level. Like I don't want there to be a ceiling for me.
Yeah, it's a journey.
It's a journey. Yeah. So it doesn't stop, right? It's not like mm-hmm. not like if tomorrow, even if I was like, oh, I hit the lottery and I won $1 billion, mm-hmm. would I just stop doing what I'm doing? Like, would I just be like, all right, now I'm just going to lay down at home and never do anything? No, I would still be building and grinding and investing. I would still keep doing all of the same things because it's a process.
It's a process.
But most people have an end date in mind.
Yeah, the destiny.
That's the issue. Mm-hmm. Is most people think, they're like, oh, man, if only I had... if I had this much money, if I had this, and then what? Then you would stop being you. You would stop doing, you would stop everything that's going on in your life. You would stop building and trying. That means that what you're doing has no purpose to it.
Yep, exactly.
If you got a check right now for like $10 million and you're like, I ain't going to work. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. I'm sitting at home and what? Wasting your life, which means that whatever you're doing has no purpose to it. Mm. Anything where you got that money and then it only perpetuated your purpose. Like if you're like say for example, AJ, for you, if you're like, oh, I got $100 million tomorrow, and you're like, you know what? I love teaching. I'm going to build out my podcast, and I'm also going to make sure I build a school for all these kids.
Right.
Hey, that means that's your purpose. That. Your purpose is to keep teaching. Yeah. But if you got $100 million, you're like, cool, I'm actually gonna F this podcast. I'm not showing up no more. Yeah. Like then that means it's not part of your purpose, that you didn't care about it that much.
Yeah.
Most people are looking for an end date. But it's not an end date. It's an ongoing marathon. So you got to keep grinding. No matter what it takes, get out of survival mode and think about what your purpose is, your passion is, and then keep pushing towards it.
Yeah, they think that one thing is going to save nice, them man. And make them happy. But that's not the case.
It's not. It's, happiness is a journey too. So you have to make yourself happy every single day. You have to choose to be happy.
Yep. Hey, I love that one. All right, man. Well, dang, this has been good, man. This has been good. It's been some heat. It's been some heat on this mug.
one more question to kind of close us out. Like, it's so like, you know, like they just said, man, you just said a lot of gems on here. So
heck yeah.
If you, what you know now, like all the knowledge, all the wisdom you didn't gain and all the hard work, if right now you can go back and tell like your younger self, give the one piece of advice, what would it be?
My one piece of advice, like if I can't like leave myself a book or something like that, right? I can only give it's like Terminator rules or something. Like I show up in an orb and I'm like, I got a few seconds to say something.
Exactly.
Right.
All right. If that happened, I would tell myself to learn everything about money early.
Mm.
So because school doesn't teach money at all. So school doesn't teach you how to invest. It doesn't teach you how to manage taxes. School teaches you how to be an employee and work for someone else's dream. It does not tell you how to follow your own dreams. So in this case, I would have taught myself to learn money early because money is learned at home. So if you learned it at home, which most of us don't because we might come from broken homes or whatever it may be or from poverty. But if you learned money early in life, then you would know how to appreciate it, respect it, and grow it and have it keep growing for you. So that way your journey would have been 10 times easier. So if I ever get to do a Back to the Future moment, I would tell myself to learn money early and apply it.
Like that.
That's a good one. That's a good one. That's a good one, man. Yeah.
I would ask for like a like some type of like the like wisdom of the day, man. But I was checking out the back of the background, and mm-hmm. you have a quote up there, and it says, "The biggest risk of all is not taking one." That was pretty deep. I kept looking at that, and I was like, just pondering, like,
it's one of my favorite quotes from Melody Hobson. So in this case, like, it's equivalent to like Michael Jordan's quote, like, you miss all of the shots you never take, or whatever it is, right? I don't know the exact quote, but if you never take a shot at life, if you never take a shot at life towards your dreams or towards your goals or anything like that, you can't make any shots you don't take. So if you're always at home, you're like hoping for things to change. You hope things will get better. You hope that you lose weight or you find the perfect man or you hope you win the lottery. You can't win a lottery ticket if you don't buy a lottery. You know what I'm saying? Like you have to actually take a shot in order to get a chance.
Yeah.
Most people never take a risk. Yeah. And was it risky to quit my job, to move in with my parents? Hell yeah, it was risky.
Hell yeah, it
was risky. But was it worth it? It paid out. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was worth it. It made the difference.
Yep. So
I could have just stayed at my job because it was comfortable. I could have stayed where I lived in Pennsylvania because it was comfortable. I could have stayed doing the exact same thing, being depressed, being miserable, working in and out, making them $3-4 million a year while I was still getting refused bonuses. Why? Because it was guaranteed, and most people want a guarantee. But if you take a risk on something that's not guaranteed, the rewards, there's no cap on it. There's no limit to it.
Don't be fearful, y'all. Just keep going. Keep shooting. Keep going
shooting
on
your
them.
Shot.
Yeah, keep going on them dates. Keep going to the gym. Keep taking risks. Keep investing your money. Keep putting yourself out there. You know what I mean? And good things will pay off. The thing about it is not as bad as people like there. It's mostly a mental thing. Like they think that putting themselves out there they'll injure themselves or hurt themselves. And you might, but most of the time it's more good stuff that's going to happen from you putting yourself out there than bad. So just keep having that courage, man.
Facts.
Get brave. Like get brave on them. Get super brave, like Braveheart or something. I don't know. Just,
Most of the time people care about what other people think more than they care about the actual result. Like, what if I look stupid? So what if I fail? So try again. Yeah. That's how failing works. Yeah. You're supposed to fail. Like if you did it perfectly, you learned nothing.
Yep.
If you fail, it teaches you how to do a better job at it. Right.
Yeah. So that's going to be my new saying for the rest of the year. Get stupid. Yeah. You know,
you're supposed to get stupid to
look dumb. You know what I mean? Like,
no one actually cares.
Yeah. All right.
Right.
It's in the day. It's your life, man. So I just want to say thank you, Tyrone, Dr. Butler, for coming on the show. I know we got to do the Black Business clip, but I just want to thank my brother. He has been an inspiration. He has been doing great things. And even though we don't get to talk that often, I'll hit him up like, dang, that's dope. hey, what you doing? Like, he'll send stuff to the group chat or whatever. And, it's still that connection there, even though we haven't been around each other in a long time. So it's always good to connect with my bros. And, I'm proud of you, man. I'm super proud of you. Like,
I appreciate you.
Like, that's no easy feat.
Man,
everything that you've done, like, you done it. You know what I mean? It's in the history books. So I just want to encourage you to keep going, and whatever it is that you are aiming for, just keep going, bro. And you got us as support. The platform is here. We're still growing. We're still getting better.
Yeah, we just want to give the platform.
I know they noticed the thing in the back was. I was like, man, is this damn green screen don't work?
Yeah.
You talking about what the lights on the green screen?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, man. So
it's just. The lighting. We could also talk about that too. You need two more lights and one spatial light, and then that'll actually stop it to where it won't turn green anymore. Because this is the same screen. If I turn it off, you'll see it's screen.
Yeah. So see, look.
There you go.
But yeah, man, that's putting us ourselves out there. So taking risk, man.
That's all.
But yeah, man, I'm very thankful for you, bro, and I'm proud of you, man. So anytime you want to come on, like, let me know.
I appreciate you guys having me. Yeah, we should talk more, and then just probably focus on just talking about investments.
Yeah, we're gonna do some other stuff, but please, this is the grind show, so they gotta know the grind.
Yeah. I definitely will, man. I wanna get my investment game up. So
but sure. Yeah, let's get this Black business going, man. Oh, or any business. Any business.
All right, I'm down always.
Yeah. This is Black business segment. We can shout out any business, anybody doing their thing, investing, and just making it out there, creating things. We just want to give it a shout out. So,
build a business, y'all.
You know what I'm saying? Tyrone, you can go first if you got something. If you got a business you want to shout out, any businesses, go ahead, man.
Well, my company is the MD Investor. So if you go to the mdinvestor.com and I have things that might help you get on the right track, if you're interested in learning about investing, if you're interested in even having free courses. So I do a lot of stuff for healthcare professionals. I teach people how to do contract negotiations. I have things like books on different streams of income and how to get started. So if you guys head over to the mdinvestor.com, you can actually follow me also on my IG, which is the mdinvestor.com. And then lastly, if you wanted to listen to anything about investing, you can also follow my podcast, which is the MD Investor Podcast. So
shout out that podcast, baby. Hey, y'all go check that out. Go subscribe. What else, bro? Come on, keep it going. Tell them about your businesses, man.
You said tell them about my businesses?
Yeah, or just plug the businesses. Because I don't know. You do the trucking still?
Yeah, I still do trucks. But in this case, we made some pivots in terms of that. So trucks had issues with like the gas and the fuels. Mm-hmm. But and you always have you always have a way to make stuff still profitable. So in this case, mm-hmm. we actually switched it over to trucking and leasing company. So now I own the trucks, I own the trailers, but I lease them all out. So wow. now I'm not responsible for maintaining the authority. I don't have to cover the insurance. I don't have to cover anything like that. So it's just like renting apartments on wheels. There's always a way.
You're renting the homes.
Yeah. So yeah. I think I got the trucks around maybe a few of them, like around 40,000, maybe the trailers around 50,000 or so. And then they're renting. Not bad. Yeah. So now they're renting out. I think they're leased to own. So I think two of them are going for like 90K and then one's going for like 60 or 70K. So nice. Again, you make money on the entry, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's fixed income where like I'm going to get income where I don't have to wake up. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to drive, but it's going to hit my account, you know?
Yeah, of course. That's how you do it. Ownership, y'all. Ownership. We ain't talk about it, but that's what it is. Ownership. You got to own it.
Same thing with the properties. I just closed on a few other properties as well. I have some properties in Michigan. I have a few properties in Georgia.
Yeah, so we're going to have you back on and talk about this investing a little bit more.
You'll definitely be back on, man.
You got some skin in the game, y'all. Yeah. Some skin in the game.
You'll definitely be back on, man. Do you have any businesses, AJ? Anything you want to shout out?
I guess I want to shout out another one of my frat brothers, Robbie Moore. He has a graphic design business. I believe it's called Lucky Charms LLC.
Something like that.
Yeah, I believe I'll try to plug it on the when I do the editing and stuff.
Yeah.
But you know, he does all the graphic design, talented artists, like my bro Tank. You know, and you know, he does a lot of stuff with his lady, and you know, I just want to support my brothers, man. Whatever y'all got going on, I'm definitely gonna try to plug that. So shout out Rob. And go ahead and support at Lucky Charms, I think LLC, if I'm not mistaken. But I'll plug it.
Shout out to Mr. I and Y too, bro.
My man is
grinding, and my boy Greg too. Trilogy. So he when he does the tour, he be killing it too. So
shout out Trilogy. Shout out Ike. Mr. I and Y. Get your taxes done. It's tax season, y'all. It's tax season.
Right. Facts. He's about to be mad busy.
You got one, Tank?
Actually, I don't.
Okay, Tyrone gave two, so yeah, I should make three. I guess I'll give the plugs. You guys can find the Grind Show at the Grind Podcast One on IG, at TGP1914 on Twitter. I'm probably gonna change that pretty soon, but subscribe to the YouTube channel The Grind Show with AJ and Tyler. My Instagram is at St. Jones 33.
Mine is my Instagram is Tanksley Designs. That's where you can find me on there. On Twitter mm-hmm. is Tank of America.
Tyrone, can you plug your podcast and where they can find it and your Instagram handle?
Yeah, so the podcast is on Spotify and every platform. So you can find that at the MD Investor Podcast. So you could just type that in Spotify or Apple and it'll pop up. And then my IG is the same as the name over here. So the MD Investor. So you go to at the MD Investor and it will pop in. So if you guys are interested in business links, things like that, you can always DM me on IG. Or again, you can go to themdinvestor.com and you can either sign up for free content, get any free courses or free books, and go from there as well. So hopefully I could be some help for you guys.
All right, man. I guess that's a wrap, man. Hey, Tyrone,
you got a favorite song out right now? Just a question.
Do I have a favorite song out? I only listen to music, and mostly I that I feel like will elevate me to the next level. So most of the time it's books. So I do have a lot of favorite books out. I try to make sure I do at least 5 books a month if I can.
What you reading right now? The main one.
Tabitha Brown's Feeding the Soul. I just finished the Way of the Superior Man as well, which is a great book. And then I just got a new book from Dr. Sebi as well, and a
Oh,
book on
nice.
history. So it's The Chronicles of the Anunnakis. So
Nice.
I'm
Okay, we
actually
don't have to talk about that. Sounds
yeah,
interesting
yeah,
right
yeah.
there.
Well, I'm gonna take
Yeah,
it back.
we gonna have to
I'm gonna
get
take it back a
this
little bit right
Tyrone. No,
there.
I do like music, don't get me wrong. But my focus is like I use music kind of like medicine.
Yeah.
Like if you need it to pump you up or something like that, it's great, but at the same time, a lot of music has lower frequencies on it. So
Yeah, it
I try to
goes
keep it high frequency. I try to keep focused on the
always.
books and the podcast rather than the music.
You gotta listen to some Masago or something like that.
Masago.
Yeah, he got some good music. Definitely high frequency for sure.
Watch
But
yourself. I'll check it out.
this has been the Grind Podcast, episode 29, with our brother Tyrone, man.
Dr. Butler.
That's right. Y'all keep tuning
Yay.
in, man. Until next time, another episode. We out. Keep hustling, keep grinding, hustling, motivate. I'll let
Explode
your rage. Take you across the tracks. Make you explode a face.
You
now
know,
you
Nip.
official now.
Shout out, Nip, man.
But you got a soul to say. I just
But
been
we
cooking
out.
that note. I'm about to drop in the fuel. Think if I call it the grain, the people gonna call it the truth. Ain't really trip on the credit. I just paid all of my dues. I just respected the game. Got my name all in the news. Tripping on all of my moves. Quote me on this, got a lot more to prove.
Grinding.